Thank you, Evelyn. Who can tell me what Evelyn just played? All right, Andy. All right. I heard Steve's voice, but oh, you can see it right there. All right. I am thankful this morning. You know, a lot of times we check on Facebook to see how people are doing. I checked on Facebook this morning to see how God was doing, His Word. He still is in control. He still loves us. He's bigger than any problem you will ever face. He's coming again. Praise the Lord for that. I've been preaching through 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5 on what motivated the Apostle Paul, and this is one of Paul's most personal letters. And I trust that you will receive a blessing this morning because a lot of people want to give up, lose heart. And remember, Paul said, "Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." And there were times when Paul just felt like giving up, quitting. But Paul kept on, and I preached on the fact that he knew Jesus Christ was coming, and he looked forward to that day. He realized this, that he did not live for this earth, he lived for eternity. When you get up in the morning and you feel overwhelmed, start counting your blessings. Start thinking about what will happen and what the future will be for you as a Christian. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. And this was another thing that motivated the Apostle Paul. Paul realized he had settled in his heart that God really loved him. Now, if I asked you this morning, if you believe God loves you, you'd say, "Yes, I know He does." Do you really have that settled in your heart? You cannot walk with God. You cannot enjoy your Christian life. You cannot experience the joy of the Lord. You cannot be a fruitful Christian unless you have that settled in your heart this morning. Now, it's easy for all of us to say, "I know God loves me," but do you really believe it? What about when you're going through a trial? What about when things seem really dark and you're going through that valley? Do you believe that God really loves you? The Apostle Paul, many times when he was in prison, when he was beaten by rods, when he was suffering from being stoned, I believe what came to his mind is that my God loves me. I believe it will change our lives if we could just believe that in our hearts, that God really loves me. Have you ever thought this or said this to someone? Well, God loves you because you're special. And what you're saying is, God loves you more because you don't have as many trials as I have. No, God loves you the same. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less. God loves you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." Let me read that again. "And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." So Jesus said, "I died for you. I gave my life for you. You should not live for yourself." Verse 15, "And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let's pray. Father, I ask this morning that you would fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. And Father, help me to say those things, only what you want me to say. And Lord, I pray for every listener this morning that they would listen with teachable ears. Oh, Father, if we could all just learn how much you love us. And Lord, your love never changes. And the events in life don't change your love for us. And Lord, help us to be motivated, if Paul was, by the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody ever looked at you like you were strange? Now, not in a weird way, all right, but just because you were a Christian. When I worked at the Bill Rice Ranch, I worked there for 2 summers, and I realized that Deaf Week and Junior Week were very interesting. I signed up to work at the Bill Rice Ranch, didn't realize that I would have 32 deaf people in my cabin and 32 juniors, and those weeks were very, very interesting. The number of boys that were homesick and they were crying, they wanted to go home. And then I remember there was a boy, I was out by the lake, and there was a boy that was digging into the garbage can, and he would pull out a can that had a little bit of pop in it. And he would drink the rest of the pop from the can. I'm thinking, oh, I am so glad that he's not in my cabin. Guess what? He was from my cabin. And the way I found that out is one day after rest time, I was walking back to the restroom, and one of the other campers said, "Mr. Bob, something's wrong with him. He's sick." And I looked on the top bunk, and sure enough, it was the same kid. I'm thinking, well, no, I'd be sick too if I was drinking pop from pop bottles. Well, I said, what's wrong? And he just moaned. And then the other boy said, "Why, I think he's sick because he drank all of this." There was a family bottle size of scope. I'm thinking, oh no. He had good breath. And then the other boy said, "Well, someone dared him to drink it, and he got $5 for it." I didn't know what to do. So I finally got him. He was moaning, and I said, "Let's go to the nurse's station." And I explained to the nurse what happened, and she went in and came out. She had this smirk on her face. She said, "He's drunk." He did all kinds of other weird things. But I trust you'd ever drink a family-sized bottle of scope. But has anybody ever looked at you and said, "You're a little different because your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?" I believe people thought Paul was odd. You think about it, when you got saved, you became a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away. All of a sudden, your music changed, your lifestyle changed. I remember a neighbor said to me one time years ago, and probably didn't know I was a pastor, "Why would people go to church on Sunday?" I was going to say, "Because I'm a pastor. I go to church." But, you know, one other time he said, why would people give to the church? Well, you don't make very much money. It's because we're not living for this earth. We're living for eternity. Our perspective has changed. Do you ever get in a discussion with someone? They say, "You don't believe abortion's okay?" And you say, "No, because God changed me. And our value system changed." And they're wondering, "What is wrong with you? Why would you go to church? Why would you read the Bible? It was written thousands of years ago. Why would you pray? You don't even see God. You've never been to heaven. Why would you live for heaven? Why would you live for eternity?" That's the change that took place in your life. Why would you love people? Why would you return good for evil? Because God says to do it. In chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul writes, "When we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now Paul's saying we need to live for what we can't see. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, when you do that, even some of God's people wonder why you're strange, why you're different. Now, I believe Paul was not talking about his love for God, but God's love for him. You notice in the text later on, talks about Jesus Christ dying for each one of us. Folks, understand this morning. Our love grows weak and cold, but God's love never changes for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. First of all, we see the motivation. "For the love of Christ constraineth us." For the love of Christ, not your love for him, but his love for you. Now, when someone dies without the Lord Jesus Christ and they go to hell not being unloved because God loves them. And God loves you this morning. The word constrain means to motivate. It means to urge or compel. It means to drive. A good illustration of that, men, when you get hungry, what do you think about? Food. And my wife learned a long time ago, she should not take her hungry husband grocery shopping because the bill seems to go up. And all of a sudden she says, where did that ice cream come from? I don't know. It just jumped in the cart. I don't know. What motivated the Apostle Paul every day was thinking, God loves me. And God loves you. His love doesn't change. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded. That means Paul said, I am convinced. I don't know your heart this morning. Are you convinced that God loves you? I am persuaded that neither death, when I die, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to give you three reasons this morning why Christ loves you, and that's not all of them. There are many other reasons, but common grace. Maybe you're not familiar with common grace. Common grace is that God loves you, and He loves the unsaved, and He loves all of us. It's common grace. Have you ever committed a sin, and you know that God knows about it, and it was a secret sin, and you didn't want God to expose it, He didn't expose it. He never judged you for it. That's common grace. I know there's sorrow on this earth, but you know what? There's a lot more joy than sorrow. And the reason we can spot sorrow is because of all the joy. Think of how many times you had a birthday party for your kids and you had a wonderful time, or you saw a sunset. Or tomorrow, Labor Day, maybe you go to the park and God allows you to enjoy it. And we spot sorrow because there's so much joy. Now, if there was more sorrow than joy, we probably wouldn't recognize sorrow as much. We recognize ugliness because there's a lot of beauty in this earth. I've been blessed to be able to see the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean, and wow, beauty. The Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, a beautiful sunset, a beautiful rainbow. We serve a wonderful God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said this, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. What he's saying is speak well of them. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, yesterday morning when I got up and I was spending time with the Lord, the sun rays was coming through the window, and I thought, you know what? We serve a wonderful God. Because God allows his sun not only to shine on the Christian, but on the non-Christian. That person that claims to be an atheist, that person that claims not to love God, that person that's living in sin, God allows his sun to shine on them. This morning it rained both on the righteous and the unrighteous. When you were driving down the road, there wasn't just little places of rain just for you and not for the unrighteous. God allows this rain to fall both on the farmer that on his farmer's field that loves God and those that doesn't love God. Common grace shows us that God loves us. The warnings in the Bible show us that God loves us. From cover to cover, the Bible is full of warnings. Now, I'm thankful that God warns us. He says the way of the transgressor is hard. He tells us he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. The Bible also tells us that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, that you will spend all eternity in hell. From cover to cover, the Bible is full of warnings because God loves us. And I'm thankful for the gospel offer. God doesn't just save some. I believe that Jesus died for all. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That tells me that when Jesus was dying, he was dying on the cross for those Roman soldiers that were nailing him to the cross. He was dying for every enemy. He died for every sin we would commit. The wonderful thing about God's love is that he loves you this morning. It doesn't matter growing up if you were abused, or if someone shuns you, or if someone speaks evil about you, God still loves you. What is amazing, he knows everything about you. That's what motivated the Apostle Paul. Yeah, he had hard days. He had difficult days. He had days full of sorrow. He had days when he wondered if anybody cared, but he knew this, that God loved him. In Psalm 26, verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. So we see the motivation. What motivated the Apostle Paul? Every day, he would think about God's love for him. And he remembered the day he was on the road to Damascus, and he was ready to kill Christians, and he met Jesus Christ, and God changed his life. He never got over the love of God. Not only we see the motivation, but we see the message. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Dead spiritually. And that he died for all. We think of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's proof that Jesus loves you. And sometimes we get so used to what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for us. Remember, he suffered before they put him on the cross. It was reserved only for criminals. His body was already hurting, full of pain, because of the cat of nine tails. And they pulled his beard from his face and the crown of thorns. And then they place our wonderful Savior on the cross of Calvary. And then he'd extend his arm, and they'd find a spot in his wrist to put those spikes into his hands, because they knew if they had put it in his palm that it would, his weight would cause it to rip through. Folks, he did that for you. And the whole time he did it because he loves you. And nailed his feet to that cruel cross. And they lifted it up and they dropped it into that hole. Just imagine the pain that our Savior went for you, that he did for you. And they'd say crucifixion was a terrible way to die, because you'd have to lift yourself up just to get a breath of air. And after a while, you didn't want to do that anymore, because the pain was too great. Jesus experienced dizziness, cramps, hunger, thirst, and pain for you. And Paul realized, Jesus loves me. Someone wrote years ago, how can I do less than give him my best? Live for him completely after all he's done for me. Think about your life. Are you living it for self after all that Jesus did for you? What motivated Paul? The love of Christ constraineth him and motivated him. The message we have, that Jesus took
our place on Calvary. A pastor one day was preaching on the crucifixion. And the mom looked at her son, and her son was crying. He says, "Oh, don't cry, don't cry. Just get over it." That's our problem. We're so hard-hearted. That should motivate us. The ministry in verse 15. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." So what Paul is saying, it's not about your comfort. And too many Christians now are trying to get a big house, and they're trying to eat great food, and they're trying to be comfortable down here. Folks, this is not home. Our home is in heaven. And Jesus loves us so much that he left us here so that we could tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're trying to make this life comfortable to us. We're trying to live for all we can get down here. The inspired word of God says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's only one person that died for us and rose again. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. "Wherefore, henceforth, though we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." Jesus wasn't just another man. He was God. You know how easy it is for us to perceive something that is not true? And we think it's true because we perceive it a certain way, and it's not the way we often think it is. We get ourselves in trouble many times because we judge a situation without knowing all the facts. People in the Lord's day hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. They put Jesus on the cross of Calvary. We can perceive that God doesn't love us, and he does love us. Notice in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I don't want to ask you if you prayed a prayer, have things changed in your life? Because a prayer won't get you into heaven. Just because you come to church won't get you into heaven. A changed life. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he makes the difference. And I believe one reason why a lot of young people leave churches today is because they never have been truly born again. Matthew chapter 7, many will be surprised that day. Many will be. It's talking about church people. Will be surprised. When Jesus said, "I never knew thee, depart from me." And that person said, "Well, Lord, didn't I sing in a choir? Didn't I go to church? My parents went to church." Folks, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The ministry. We don't believe the commandments because of the commandments of the law. We believe them because of the commandments of the Lord. We obey because we love Jesus Christ and he loves us. You know why he's given us the Word of God? It's to protect us from sin. And you are hurting yourself if you don't obey the Word of God. It doesn't matter what your feelings tell you. It doesn't matter what everybody else, the advice they give you. You need to do it God's way. And if you're not doing it God's way, you are wrong. You're 100% wrong. You need to do it God's way. John chapter 14, verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." You see, Paul became a respecter of God and not of people. He respected the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you more impressed by the external
than the internal, the visible or the invisible, the temporal or the eternal. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, I'm thankful that God is still working on me. And he's still working on you if you're a believer. My wife would like to watch every so often that I show the Extreme Makeover. And they'd take a house. And they would take down some of the walls sometimes and replace the carpet and paint. And sometimes add a window. It was amazing how they could take that house, that dumpy looking house, and in 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month or so, they could transform it into a wonderful place. God is working on each one of us. We sing this song, "What a wonderful change my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart." I am thankful for the change. Because God has given me a desire to read His Word and obey His Word. He's given me a greater desire to pray. He's the one that's given me a desire to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me the desire that He's coming soon and I will be with Him for all eternity. If you're not in His Word, there's something wrong. Because what encourages me is the Word of God. In 1 John 4:19, the Bible says, "We love Him," and in the Greek, it doesn't say Him. We love because He first loved us. If you don't love your spouse, you're blocking the love of God if you're a Christian in your life. One man said this, "I was trying to change my spouse, my wife, into my image, not into God's image." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." God would not command us to love our spouses if we weren't able to do it. But in His power, He is saying you can love your spouse. And the goal that we should aim for is not loving them better than we loved them last year or loving them better than our neighbor or our friend at church, but loving them like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. "Ye have heard." It's natural for us to think this way. We love our friends and we hate our enemies. Jesus said, no, a true Christian. Ye have heard, it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. That's what you've heard. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know why God tells us to do that? Because God does it. Because God loves His enemies. Those that speak evil, you're supposed to love them. You say, that's hard. It is hard. You can't do it without God's power. God would not command it to do something that we're not capable of doing. Verse 45, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Sendeth rain on the just and on the just." Verse 46, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" Well, we read verse 17. You're a new creature in Christ. You are filled either with yourself or the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to obey the Word of God. It is impossible
to say you love God and you hate your brother at the same time. It is impossible. It's impossible. You cannot love someone else unless you know that God loves you. I'm afraid there are many believers, we wonder, does God really love me? Because he knows everything about me. He knows every thought that goes through my mind. He knows every action, every deed. He knows the times I get up in the morning and I could read the Word of God and I don't. He knows what I say about his children. And yet he loves me. And because we don't have that settled in our hearts that God loves us, it's impossible for us to love others. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, Paul writes, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." That's a debt that will never be paid. God says, every time I see you, I owe you love. And that's what you owe everyone else in this auditorium is love. Because that's what God does for us. You see, when he warns us, it's because he loves us. When it tells us to go to church, it's because he loves us. When he says, speak evil of no man, it's because he loves us. When he says, walk by faith and not by sight, he tells us that because he loves us. He never makes a mistake. This morning, do you really believe in your heart that God loves you? Because it's so easy to look back 20, 30 years ago, I did this and God doesn't. No, he still loves you. What motivated the Apostle Paul? The love of God or love of Christ constraineth me. And Paul says, I know he loves me because he proved it. He sent his only son to die on the cross for me. But common grace proves that how many times I thought I would get zapped with lightning and never did. God blessed me. You see, when we understand how much God loves us, we will treat other people the way that God treats us. We will be forgiving. We will be loving. We will be kind. Because that's how God treats us. And it's easy for all of us this morning to say God loves me, but not really believe it in our hearts. And if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first thing you need to do. And if you have, you need to tell God this morning, God, please forgive me for not accepting your love towards me. Folks, God's proven his love. That's why he says, I care about you more than anyone else. I care about you more than your parents and yourself. Anyone on this earth. That's why I tell you, cast in all your care upon me because I care for you. And the reason we won't give God our cares is because many times we don't think he really cares. He does care. He does love us. He loves her with an everlasting love. And as Paul said, when I die, and Paul's in heaven now, I get to spend all eternity with God because he loves me. And my salvation is secure. It's not based upon what I do or what I haven't done. It's based upon what God has done for me. Oh, every morning when we get up, we ought to rest in the fact that God loves me. God loves you this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.